This is Scott Becker with a special issue of the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Here are 13 to 14 stories we're following this morning. Obviously, we're just the day before Thanksgiving, so a huge amount to be thankful for this year in terms of the overall economy. A lot of jobs created this year. Yes, some inflation. Yes, some trouble with gas prices. But a lot of wealth created in the stock market, real estate, and so forth. And inflation and job wages and jobs coming back too. So overall, a lot of concerns and a lot to be thankful for. Let's hope that those that did well this year economically give to those that did not, that are struggling. But here are 14 points this morning on the, what's going on today. First, futures point down this AM in all three major indexes. Yes, it was a mixed day. The S&P did fine. The NASDAQ was down. The NASDAQ reacts negatively to treasury yields rising because the technology stocks are looking at way off earnings. The more the interest rates go up, the more those earnings are discounted at net present value. And so they do poorly. Growth stocks do more poorly in a high interest rate environment. Second, new jobless claims came in at a pandemic low of 199,000. This is also the lowest number in years. Employment also fell to 4.5%. That's a good number for all practical purposes. We're fully employed. 10.4 million jobs are unfilled. Third, GDP fell in the third quarter to 2.1%. I wouldn't yet view this as concerning. They expect a little more growth this quarter. That's partly because of supply chain issues and other issues versus absolutely a slowdown in manufacturing, a slowdown in growth. Fourth, B of A continues to point up on interest rates rising. Bank of America, the bank stocks ultimately should do well as we get back into a lending environment. And so we'll see how that goes. Fifth, the 10-year treasury yield closed yesterday at 1.66. It's up almost 14 basis points over the last 2 days. It looks actually this morning like it's going to open a little bit higher than that, more at 1.68. The 2-year treasury yield has also risen to a pandemic high of nearly 0.60. So savings start to become an alternative to what you're seeing in the stock market. Fifth, Best Buy dropped nearly 12 percentage points, showing slowing projected growth and slightly shrinking margins. In a sixth story, Zoom dropped also 15% yesterday, even though it had great numbers, and it also has slightly slowing growth. The falling of these stocks, Zoom and Best Buy, despite very solid earnings, is one of the signs of how fully priced the stock market is and how reactive it may be to treasury yields rising. Seventh, Gap shares dropped nearly 20% on reduced annual forecast for sales. Either stock dropped almost 20%. Eighth, Nordstrom had a terrific quarter, a great quarter. It saw its revenues rise 18% in the third quarter. Interesting enough, its Nordstrom Rack sales dropped, and it says that it needs to improve Nordstrom Rack. I happen to be a Nordstrom Rack shopper and could not agree more at how much the attractiveness of that store has fallen over the years. Part of this is because they're selling more full-price goods at the regular Nordstrom, so there's not as much need for the Nordstrom Rack at the discount part, but it really is. You could see it, and its sales are down 8% year over year. Ninth, after a tough couple of years, holiday travel was fully back to 2019 numbers. That's sort of fascinating. More than 2 million people pass the TSA every day. 10th, per gallon gas prices up 60% from a year ago. This is a fascinating story of bureaucratic stupidity. I don't want to go further into this. Just really a mess in terms of how the gas and oil has been handled by the United States and how quickly we went from energy independent to being back to dependent. And we see it at the pump, and we'll see it in heating oil prices this summer. Literally a travesty of action. I think an 11th fascinating point that I see, and this is fascinating for the private equity world, insurers like pension funds are increasingly increasing their exposure to private equity illiquid assets. Insurers have about $4 trillion in assets that they handle. 35% of insurers' assets are now in non-liquid assets, an all-time high. As you see, insurers chasing capital growth, yield, by investing more and more in private equity and private debt. So 35% of the assets are now illiquid, and just more of the opportunities are in the liquid assets, and the liquid assets fascinating too. 12, Samsung is building a $17 billion chip factory in Texas. One of the things I find so fascinating about the politics of our nation is Texas passed this very, very restrictive anti-abortion law and has had almost no negative pushback from major business, though I would have expected it. But they're building a $17 billion factory there. Oracle, Tesla, all moving to Texas. And you've not heard a lot of negative feedback. Whereas in contrast, Georgia, which was at the heart of changing their voting rules, but the voting rules really came in line with those of many other states, liberal and not liberal, really took it on the chin with corporate attack, Major League Baseball attack, and so forth. It's very interesting to me to try and understand why such different outcomes in one state versus the other in terms of the political view and perspective on all these things. In any event, those are 12 or 13 of the stories we're following this morning. Just a fascinating time in the economic world. In some ways, I do view it, if you look at the late 20s, when interest rates were so low to try and pump up the economy, and then when they started to raise them quickly and things fell apart, at least in Wall Street, where there were so many people on margin. I'm hoping this time, as the interest rates go up and we slow down asset inflation, house and stock inflation, that we don't end up with that same situation, that people aren't so over-leveraged, over-margined on their investments, that we don't end up with trouble if the Dow moves back, for example, to 35,000 or 6,000 to 30,000, that we don't end up with that kind of problem we ended up then. I don't think we should. Hopefully the people are not that over-margined on either their housing or their investments, that we don't end up with that kind of trouble again if things go in the other direction. In any event, thank you for listening to this version of the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. It's always a pleasure talking to people and talking through and thinking through these issues. It's just a pleasure. And of course, a special thank you to Jeremy Corr, Danny Barker, Kate Cruz, Jay Long, and Grace Keller, the executive podcasting team, for just tremendous help this year. Thank you very much.